Good morning. It's 9:06. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Yesterday, the National Endowment for the Arts released a new study on public participation in the arts. Conducted in partnership with the Census Bureau, the study asked more than 18,000 people aged 18 and over about their frequency of arts engagement. This morning, we're going to have a conversation about this study's findings and what they mean. Joining me in the studio this morning, Ann Katz, Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin and Arts Advocacy Group. Ann, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me about this study. It's not done every year, is it?
No, this is the fifth time it's been done since 1982. So they're working. It was just released, as you said, and they took data collected in 2008. So certainly, I think the study has grown every year since 82. Every time they've done it since 1982, but it's a very large study. It was done in collaboration with the U.S. Census Bureau, and it comes from the federal agency dedicated to the arts, the NEA. So it's very good research that we can all use.
Well, I mean, one of the things it's measuring, it's you know, how we engage in the arts face-to-face, in person, that kind of thing, where we make contact. Do we know anything about our arts behavior prior to 1982? I mean, were there any this study wasn't done, but is there other information?
I'm sure there were studies. I think that since the NEA was founded in 1965, there have been other kinds of studies that looked at how people participated in the arts, how the arts is an industry that provides assets to a community and to the nation overall. But in the past, this study, having been done five times since 1982, really shows that the whole idea of researching the arts, of collecting data on arts involvement, arts participation, arts impact, is a relatively new phenomenon. Certainly, other industries have been collecting data for many, many years, for decades. But the arts as an industry is a relatively new concept, or it's not a new concept. It's been an industry for a long time, but collecting data on it is sort of a newish way of thinking. So we don't have anything as concrete to compare it to before 1982, but we certainly have a lot of good evidence since then.
Well, the reason I ask that is that when I just looking at the executive summary of this study, which is available online, it looks like the first decade of these studies between 1982 and 1992, the levels of arts participation and engagement were fairly constant. Just in fact, 92 had showed just a slight increase. And of the graphs that came up on this summary, that was kind of a peak year. But between 2002 and 2008, there was a pretty significant drop in arts participation. Do we have any idea why?
Well, I think what you are saying addresses the overall sort of concept of the study, which is that it measures the arts in a specific way and in a way that has, I guess I'll say, parameters around it. In other words, it measures what we would consider traditional arts experiences. So they had seven different disciplines that they measured. They measured the involvement and offerings by arts organizations and arts programs and arts agencies, and that's how they defined participation in the arts. When really the way that people participate in the arts is ever changing, but it's all encompassing. And by that I mean that humans have been participating in the arts, you know, since the beginning of time. I mean, people have expressed themselves creatively forever. But now we have an infrastructure, and especially since the NEA was founded or in the post-war generation in this country, we have an infrastructure that provides the arts, and that's what they're measuring. So it is flexible and fluid because the world changes over time. And if you're talking about this decade that is just ending, the world has been changing very dramatically and very obviously in the last 10 years. And so those changes are reflected in arts participation. So people, the audiences for the arts in venues and in festivals and in the ways that you think of traditionally has been aging. It is, as always, underfunded, under-resourced, and fragile. But the new ways of people participating in the arts and the younger generations is dramatic and encompassing and, I think, very exciting. And that's another part of this survey that, because we say public participation in the arts is declining, we need to start, we're focused on that. We're wringing our hands and gnashing our teeth and saying, oh, no, public participation is declining. What shall we do? But what we really need to do is pay equal attention to the fact that young people are engaging in the arts through electronic media, or all people are, but especially the younger generations.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because one of the things the study talks about is Generation Y. Mm-hmm. They have less arts education and fewer lessons.
And that's a very disturbing trend.
Well, that's okay. So that's on the one side. And I want us to talk about that this morning. And in fact, I think we might want to spend some significant time on that aspect of it. But the other thing is they're using, as you alluded to, they're using the new media. They're using the internet and other means to access the arts. So that appears to me to be one of those things which is an opportunity and a problem at the same time. Let's talk about the opportunity factor first. What things does the new media landscape offer to artists in terms of ways that they can reach out and engage their audiences in their work?
Well, the whole issue of the arts through the new media that we have at our fingertips is that there's never been more access to the arts than now. The ways that people can participate in the arts is you basically plug in your iPod and you've got the arts in your ears. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to make a special arrangement. You pay for the iPod and then you download it all on the computer. So ease of access is a huge opportunity that we have only just begun to explore. What that means for the artists and the art sector is that we have to take that traditional infrastructure that we have where you have a certain performance at a certain time in a certain place and you sell a ticket to it or you have an admission fee, and we have to find ways to open that up with the new media. Now, we don't want to get rid of our traditional infrastructure because, especially in Wisconsin, we have fantastic arts organizations. We have a very robust and exciting arts sector. But our opportunity, and I won't even say challenge, our opportunity is to figure out how we take the ease of access through the new media and integrate, combine, meld it with the infrastructure that we already have. That's ongoing. That's one of the big questions that's raised by this survey. I don't have the specific answer, but I can tell you that there's certainly a lot of work going on and a lot of exciting programs and projects that are exploring, investigating, and making the traditional combined with the new.
Well, every time there's a new medium, it's, well, this is going to kill live theater, or this is going to kill live music performance. So they said that about film was going to kill theater, and then radio was going to kill music performance, and then television was going to kill everything. And yet we still have concerts, we still have theatrical performances, we still have art galleries, people still go to them, maybe in fewer numbers, but they're still there. They've managed to survive and adapt to each wave of technological change. The difference here seems to be that the pace of change is so much different. And in fact, I'll do a little shameless promotion here. In our next hour, we're going to be talking about some of those changes in the media landscape. A new book just came out on Google and the history of that organization and its culture and how it's revolutionized media. But, in spite of all the changes in technology and all the new ways people have in maybe lower resolution media to see a play or to listen to music, yet live performances and exhibitions continue to survive. The question is, I guess, can they into the future, and what's the model that we'll be using economically to support those things?
Well, and there's a big part of the question. What is the model, or what are the models? I think we've operated on a sort of specific model for the past 50 or so years. Much of the arts activity that happens in Wisconsin and nationally happens because nonprofit organizations produce, present, or exhibit that work. The questions raised by this survey and the dramatically changing nature of our society really raise the question whether that specific model will continue to work. I see, again, there's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of thinking, there's a lot of work going on around how we take that model and not throw it out completely, but how we take what's good about that model and translate it into ways to encompass the new media and encompass the access that we have. The changes in our society are reflected in the arts. And the access that we have now is a reflection of that. But as you said, people are still going to theater. People are still going to concerts. You can't replace the human connections that happen when you are together with other people experiencing an arts event and having an arts experience. And so that will, again, that has been since the Greeks and Romans presented theater, thousands of years ago. And that will continue. But again, it's dramatically changing, and the rate of change is making it, is giving cause for anxiety, but also, again, cause for opportunity.
We're talking about a new study just released by the National Endowment for the Arts on public participation in the arts. My guest is Ann Katz, who's the Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. And speaking of participation, this is a call-in talk show. So here is the phone number for you to call in and talk about, your participation in the arts, for one thing. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. If you'd like to use a newer media, you can send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. 800-642-1234. And before we go to phones, and we're going to take a break here in just a moment, but when you look at this national study, and it was a national study, more than 18,000 people, 18 years of age and older, across the country, how do you extrapolate that or maybe distill that information down to what's happening in Wisconsin? And when you looked at the results of the study, being as connected to the Wisconsin arts community as you are, do you think that Wisconsin is maybe doing better or worse or about the same as what the study suggests about arts participation?
Well, I think what's happening nationally is what's happening in Wisconsin, all of the points that we've discussed. But the good thing about Wisconsin is that Wisconsin has always had a wonderful history of community arts participation and arts involvement that starts at the grassroots. In fact, Wisconsin has been quite the leader in that regard with Robert Gard and all the work that the university system has done in terms of bringing the resources of the state to its people, the Wisconsin idea come to life. And that has very much been the case in the arts realm. So Wisconsin has a long and distinguished background of people involved in the arts in their communities. And so we have that real strength to draw on. We have a real system of grassroots involvement that has been going on for a long time and that has really, I think, blossomed in the last few years. If I look at a map of the state, I can pretty much point my finger on any community and talk about the community involvement that's going on, the citizens getting together to produce a festival or to renovate an old opera house or to keep the community choirs going or any number of things. So we have an exemplary art scene on the local level, and that is reflected in our big cities and our small communities. So it's certainly the case that for example, arts education is declining in Wisconsin just as much as it's declining anywhere else. We certainly have aging populations in the arts. We certainly have a very changing cultural population that is spread out through the state. But again, all of those are opportunities because I see a lot of concern about those issues, and I see a lot of real solid grassroots work happening around them. Now, has anyone figured out the way to fix the problem? No. If we did, we'd all be rich. But I see a lot of people concerned about the issue of civic engagement through the arts and development that happens through the arts. And so there's a lot of really exciting work going on. I could spend another hour talking about that.
Well, we'll say that for another time then. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we have a lot of people who want to join us by phone and talk about this issue. So we'll get to those calls and more in just a few moments. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the arts. We're talking about a new study that's just been released by the National Endowment for the Arts about arts participation. My guest is Ann Katz, who's Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just about 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up later on today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What would you do if your child had an imaginary friend that turned mean? Maybe a shaman could help. After 3 on Here on Earth, Lori Skelton's guest tells of her experiences with shaman healers. That's coming up after 3 o'clock today here on Earth on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn this morning, and this hour we're talking about the arts. A new study released by the National Endowment for the Arts looks at public participation across the country. Among other things, the study shows that audiences for things like ballet, classical music, jazz, and theater are not only shrinking but getting older. We'll be talking about that, about the fact that Generation Y is getting less arts education and fewer arts lessons, and other things. But first, let's go to the phones and take some calls. Chuck in Milwaukee is up first. Chuck, good morning.
Well, a lot of this talk about involvement, community involvement in the arts is a myth. We had one of the greatest cultural events in the history of the state in mid-June this year. In fact, probably the greatest event that ever occurred in the state culturally, which was the performance of Mahler Symphony No. 8, Symphony of a Thousand, on the 14th and 16th of June. There was no coordination. We couldn't get a program with Andrea Stelfs on WHAD, even though it's the Ideas Network. We needed something recorded. None of this got recorded for posterity. This should have been a statewide event where everybody reveled in the performance and the greatness of this moment. And both concerts were sold out. It certainly was a terrific event here, but it didn't have that essence, that great essence that it needed. And that's because there is no statewide coordination. There's no vision. And our arts organizations are just dying. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is dying a very slow death. Every year we see subscription concerts being cut. I think we're down to about 13 now per year. And there just isn't any sense of the importance of the arts in people's lives. And I think that this event in June was a clear example of it.
Ann Katz?
Well, I completely understand the concerns that the caller just raised, and I agree that there are far too many missed opportunities in the arts and in our communities, and that's a good example of one in terms of not being able to get it out to the state. But I would come back to the issue and say that I'm relentlessly optimistic, because although that's one example that the caller is offering, I can give you countless examples of the ways in which the arts are very much part of people, organizations, and communities' lives. And I do see a great deal of involvement and care about the arts as a means of human expression and as tools for economic development, education, and quality of life. So I understand you. The caller brings up all of the problems that any specific organization or any specific community or any specific individual artist faces. But regardless of the challenges that we face, I see a lot of very exciting work and a lot of very exciting collaborative work going on. Now, there's no doubt that this is a difficult time, not just in the arts, but for all of us. But what I've seen over this difficult year is that there's more creativity than ever in terms of figuring out what the problems are and how to address them. Again, has anyone come up with the solution? No, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. But the organizations and the people and the communities that are able to be creative, innovative, and entrepreneurial are the ones that are going to keep moving. So the Milwaukee Symphony may indeed have declining subscriptions, but I know that they are working on new ways to get music to their audiences, to people in Milwaukee and around the state and around the world. So they're certainly, to name that organization, working as hard as possible to figure out what the new ways of providing arts experiences means and working on those issues.
Well, one of the things that, you know, it was very apparent about Chuck's call, and which is generally true of those people who are really involved in the arts, is the passion. I mean, there's certainly no lack of that within the arts community. And, you know, that's a huge plus because that provides a lot of the energy that's needed to keep organizations going. With regard to the Milwaukee Symphony, I know that Wisconsin Public Radio's NPR News and Classical Music Network regularly broadcasts their symphonies to the whole state. Why that particular performance wasn't, I can't say, but you know, there's a lot of coordination that has to go on between various arts organizations. And I think maybe one of the things Chuck was talking about was, you know, the idea that there isn't, you know, one place that's sort of a clearinghouse for all this. But given how the arts community tends to behave, I would say that that would be, it would be a lot like herding felines.
Well, I think that Chuck pointed out the complexities of the issue and the fragility of the infrastructure. Again, that's part of what this survey addresses, and it's part of what we are all working with, that we have an infrastructure that has been a certain way, and now the world is changing dramatically right in front of our very eyes, and this year it's changed amazingly dramatically. And how are we going to keep that infrastructure as strong and as healthy as possible while it changes? You know, change is inevitable. And what we're trying to do with, I would say, a lot of vision by a lot of people locally and statewide is figure out how to manage that change, how to get ahead of the change, how to deal with the change. Again, there's no one answer. There's no one organization that's going to work on it. Certainly, Arts Wisconsin has been helping to lead the way on addressing the issue. The Wisconsin Arts Board, as the state agency, is a visionary organization that is working on the issue, a lot of partnership going on. So I'm a lot more optimistic than the caller, and I hope that he finds ways to be more optimistic.
Let's go to the phones again and talk to Reed in Madison next. Reed, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning, John. Good morning, Ann. I've been a performing artist in the state for over 30 years, and Ann, thank you, and thank Arts Wisconsin for its advocacy, particularly where government and industry are concerned. I've got a question and an observation. My question is, how do we use these new media forms, Twitter and MySpace and all the latest wave of media to, if only, promote and let the public know what our arts are and where they can get physically in the presence of the arts? That's my question. And what I want to make an observation of is this. In my career, traveling in various parts of the country, it's always been the case that wherever there was the most public funding for the arts, there simultaneously was also the greatest turnout for and the greatest awareness of the arts. And the public funding need not only come from public coffers, you know, tax dollars. Public funding meant that the corporations ended up also. And it didn't mean that the public came for free necessarily. It just meant that those with the deepest pockets weren't the only ones who came to the shows. So I want to end by, again, thanking Arts Wisconsin and encouraging your optimism, and encouraging in our, you know, creative problem solving, asking how do we continue to generate and what connections do we maintain and keep making, the new ones, to keep providing that underpinning of support so that the arts stay strong. I could stay on the phone, and I'd love to hear your response to that first question.
Well, to address the advocacy issue that you raised, and then I'll talk about the new media, although they're connected, again, I see a growing understanding among our elected officials and decision makers of all public and private that the arts are not something that only a few people participate in and are only for the elite, but that are inherent to our common good. And in the 21st century world that we live in, that the arts are part of, not separate from, economic vitality, educational advancement, and civic engagement. So I do see a growing understanding. And certainly next year, as a major election year, is going to provide us with a lot of opportunities to make the case that the arts are part of the solution. And so in terms of advocacy and making sure that we have the resources for all of these experiences and to make the arts available, the more that we can make the arts relevant to not only the decision makers, but to the communities that we live in, the more success we will have with making sure that those resources are there and making sure that everybody can participate. So that's certainly a major issue for Arts Wisconsin to be, that we will be working on in the next year. But to get back to the new media issue that you raised, Reed, that's a huge part of the strategies and the methods that we're using now. Now, I'm old enough to not to speak computer as a third language. I am not at all versed in the technology, in the new technology. But I know enough that and I know enough to be able to use Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace, all of those as amazing tools for engagement. So Facebook may be, well, we could get into a whole conversation about Facebook, but it's a great means. All of this new media are great methods for promoting the work that that's happening in the arts. And so that's very much how we've been using it this year. I am amazed at how much response I get when I post something about an organization or a community or a study or whatever is happening out there. I get a sort of ongoing conversation. So whatever you'll say about new media and you know how it's driving us all crazy, it is a really good way to have an ongoing engagement with an audience. And so I completely encourage anybody who's working in the arts, any organization, any group that wants to really promote what it's doing, to start, if they haven't already done so, start learning the basics of how to get your message out on Facebook, on Twitter, on all of those. It's not the only way that you should be getting your message out. Certainly, the traditional ways of everything from press releases to inviting people to come to your show or having it reviewed, all of those are still very relevant. But there's nothing that beats word of mouth. And the new media is sort of an enhanced, technologically savvy way of using word of mouth because you get your opinion or you get your information out on the web, and it's a global audience. So I'm a big fan of new media within reason. I certainly wouldn't only use that as I'm promoting my cause, but it's certainly a wonderful tool, and I think we should all be using it in as many intelligent ways as possible.
Ron and Hedrick is up. Let's take his call and find out what's on Ron's mind this morning. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, well, if you think things are bad in places like Milwaukee and the larger cities and communities in Wisconsin, you might want to consider what's going on in Trempealeau County, which is probably one of the most economically depressed areas of the state, and practically nothing. the artists, a small group of artists have tried to organize as a self-promoting organization, but we couldn't even keep that together. And in my small community, which is, you know, near a city of 500 people, the best we've been able to do is to come up with a small gallery which sells artwork from, you know, three-dimensional and two-dimensional artwork of local artists, and has occasional shows to showcase artists and to at least expose the community to some of the you know, possibilities for artistic expression. But the kids are going through school programs that you know don't prepare them at all for, you know, the artistic part of life, and I'm really concerned about you know what and the Wisconsin Art Board has to offer communities like ours who don't have access to people with money who are interested in sponsoring art events, and we you know can't even come up with the money to become a non-profit organization so that we could get, you know, that kind of funding. Do you have any ideas for people in our situation?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, that's most of what Arts Wisconsin does, is help people, organizations, and communities like yours figure it out. Again, we none of us have the solution or the quick solution, but we have a good number of technical assistance programs that can help you do what you're doing. So I hope you will go to our website and find my email and send me a message so that we can have an ongoing conversation. But I think what you're bringing up are the challenges. There's no doubt that this kind of work is slow. It's difficult. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a huge amount of patience, persistence, and a great sense of humor. And especially in the economy that we've experienced in the last year, it's seemed almost impossible. But again, as a relentless optimist, I can tell you that I see countless communities and groups making it work. Now, they're making it work because they keep at it. You know, every time they hit a wall, they regroup and they start to figure it out again. It's not easy. Again, it's not easy and it's not quick, but I can give you many examples of groups and organizations. And you don't have to be a nonprofit to do this kind of work. That's another thing that we should talk about. I see examples of people, organizations and communities persisting and making things happen. Certainly, and that applies to small towns as much as the larger cities. In fact, it's in small towns in our rural areas, because it's more critical, because there are fewer opportunities for people to make their living through, you know, established and traditional jobs. And by the way, of course, those jobs are going away, not just in our small towns, but in our larger cities, especially this year. I see people being in smaller communities being incredibly entrepreneurial. They're used to not having any resources, but somehow they find the energy and the passion to keep going. So I hope you will get in touch with me so that we can talk about ways that we can help you, and we can give you some models and some ideas, and connect you to other people that are doing this work so you can get some inspiration.
Well, the arts are always sort of a struggle, even in good economic times. And when things, when we get a downturn like the one we've had, that presents an even bigger challenge. In terms of, I want to kind of switch topics here for just a minute. We've kind of talked a little bit about how there is less arts education in our schools. But one of the things that this study points out is that young people, Generation Y, are getting fewer lessons. I'm thinking that, you know, those are would be something that would happen outside of school. For example, parents used to really want their kids to have piano lessons. A generation ago, most homes had pianos or some sort of instrument. And there were a lot of us of my generation who were more or less didn't have a choice about taking piano lessons.
I was in the same boat.
Yeah. So, you know, and now I'm wishing I had spent more time and paid more attention. But we see less of that. Is this because there are too many things competing? You know, there are so many activities for young people to be involved in. And then there's the video game thing and computers and so forth. But are we so over are the children of this generation so
so overscheduled that it's really hard to even get them to take time to take music or art lessons?
Well, it's
or have to be involved in dance, whatever it is.
It's sort of a perfect storm in that there are more and more activities that kids can participate in, and that's not only the arts and sports and extracurricular things, but as you said, it's the video games, it's the computer, it's the texting, like my 16-year-old does all the time. And so there's just a huge amount of things that keep that take people's attention. And besides the fact that people are living in more spread out communities, so people spend more time driving places, you know, all of that, again, it's the perfect storm of things taking people's attention. And with that has come declining revenues that provide the things like arts education classes in schools. Certainly in Wisconsin, we have a difficult school funding formula, and that has meant very, very hard choices made by administration and school boards in terms of what they can actually pay for. And so all of that, again, is a perfect storm that takes away the opportunity for kids to participate in the arts in school and out of school. And it's ironic because the arts are needed in the educational system more than ever, because in the 21st century workforce, in the 21st century world, our kids are going to need to learn how to be creative. They need to learn how to work in teams. They need to learn how to think of new ideas and think outside the box. All of those are skills that the arts teach us. And so we're really depriving our children of the opportunities that are going to help them succeed in life. Now, so that's the issue. As we said, I can tell you that there's a lot of work being done, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally on the issue. And so there's a lot of concern, a lot of ways that people are starting to think about how to really address this issue. In Wisconsin, the lieutenant governor and the former state superintendent Burmaster convened a task force last year on the arts and creativity in education, a very distinguished task force of not just arts and education leaders, but people in the business worlds and political worlds, and came up with a set of policy recommendations that are now sort of hopefully moving through the system in terms of enhancing the educational process with arts experiences for all Wisconsin students, not just kids that can afford to take lessons or that have that opportunity, but for all kids in all schools. So again, no quick answer, no magic solution, but a lot of people very concerned about this issue and how to transform education for the 21st century, which really involves the arts.
We're talking about the arts this hour, specifically a new study released yesterday by the National Endowment for the Arts documenting public participation in the arts in this country. Talking about that with Ann Katz, Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin, and with you. Phone lines are full right now. So you should send an email if you want to get in on the program. The address is talk@wpr.org. We're going to take a short pause, and when we come back, we'll talk to those folks who are waiting on the phone, and you could be next. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later on today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, we all know that volunteering helps others, but did you know that when you volunteer, you're also helping yourself? Well, after four, join Ben Marins and his guest as they discuss how to give back this holiday season and all year long. It's coming up later on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about the arts. My guest is Ann Katz, Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. And before we go back to the phones, Ann, we have an email from Jack in Hudson, which goes to a point that I wanted us to make sure we got to. And that is the aging of the arts audience. Email from Jack in Hudson says, I'm a violinist in the Chippewa Valley Symphony and an orchestra teacher. The average age of the audience is 60 plus. A friend of mine in the Minnesota Orchestra says they feel like they have missed a generation of audience members. I think this has to do with MTV, school groups not performing in the community, and that people are just too busy to attend an arts event. What about the aging arts audience? Is that a problem, or is the fact that that's going to be the biggest segment of the population demographically present an opportunity?
Well, it points out what the survey brings up, that the audiences for the traditional arts events and that's not the great word to use, but are aging. And again, the perfect storm of less arts education in the schools, more things competing for people's times, everything we've talked about comes down to older and fewer audiences for a concert on a Friday night. Again, I don't have the magic solution, but I can say that certainly these are issues that every symphony in the state and in the country are aware of. Every arts organization is aware of, and the arts sector as a whole, and a lot of people that are working on the arts and community development and engagement, coming up with one solution is not going to be the answer, but coming up with ways to offer people a variety of experiences is the solution. That may mean that the infrastructure that we have, that will mean that the infrastructure that we have will change. It may mean that we have different kinds of organizations. It may mean that we have organizations that combine their resources. It probably means all of those things because, again, there's not one answer to the question. We know what the problem is. We know what the problems are. This survey helps give us data to think about the problems.
Hang on a second, because if you look at the demographics in the United States, okay, the pig in the python is over 50. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that for a lot of these arts groups, the population is growing right into their wheelhouse. I would think that for example, specifically for classical music organizations, which, let's face it, their audiences have tended to skew old for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't a new revelation. I would think that they'd be licking their chops because there's a whole group of people that are coming right into the place in their life where they might appreciate some of these things a little bit more and would come out. Isn't this an issue that's more about marketing and getting your message out to the right group rather than, oh, gosh, you know, we've got this problem. People aren't showing up. Now what do we do?
Well, yes. And what you've said points out to the fact that none of us ever have enough money or resources or time or energy.
Or enough closet space.
That's for sure. But we never have enough resources to really do the job in terms of getting the word out, which, again, is why I'm such a big fan of the new media out there, because with your limited time and resources, new media provides a very large bang for the buck. So I agree with you, John, that there's a lot of opportunities for arts organizations to engage with this audience that has hopefully time, money, and energy to participate in the arts. And in the relative short term, that's a great thing. I think, you know, in the next 10 or 20 years, there's certainly a lot of ways that arts organizations can capitalize on this enthusiastic audience. But if we're thinking, and if we're looking beyond that, though, if we're looking to the long term, the fact that our kids are not having as much sort of traditional arts experiences, or they're not having the same kind of arts experiences as the generation before them, is not a problem necessarily, but it's an issue to pay attention to. Because the kids who are participating through the arts with their iPods now, and again, they're very engaged in the arts. Those are arts experiences that are as valid as any other, but it's different. And so arts organizations or the arts sector need to think about not just getting the audiences for the next season, but how are we going to continuously engage our audiences and our communities so that the arts experiences that we offer can last beyond this one season.
We have a bunch of callers who've been very, very patient with this host so far, and we better get to the phones. Tammy in Madison, you're next. Tammy, good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I actually wanted to speak a little bit to what you just mentioned in terms of sort of folks using their iPods and iPhones to create art. I'm not actually an artist myself, but my sister, who's a Washington, D.C.-based artist by the name of Mia Robinson, she has actually taken to using her iPhone to paint. And that is it's a medium that has sort of remained the same over, you know, decades, centuries. And now with the innovation of sort of touchscreen painting and sketching, you have this new group of artists that that do paint and do, you know, still life drawing, but they can use this medium that they always have access to. And on top of that, they can actually share it with folks that always have access to, you know, their iPhones and their iPods to view some of the really provocative art that's being created. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about how that sort of really created a grassroots movement. And, you know, like you just said, in terms of folks will need to broaden their sort of concept of what legitimate art is. There was actually an exhibition that was going to take place in Paris, and they, you know, they got countless submissions, but the jury did not select a lot of the artists because they viewed the art as being lowbrow, and you know how do we sort of work with this media and create you know, concept art. But from that, this sort of group of global artists came together and created galleries on sites like Flickr, and using new media to sort of support each other. And there will actually be an exhibition at an urban sort of hip gallery, I guess you'd say, in Chicago next month, the Chicago Art Department. And there will be a Wisconsin-based artist showing there by the name of Susan Murtaugh. But I wanted to sort of ask you, how do you see sort of the leadership, I guess you would say, of art and, you know, folks that work in the medium of painting? What do you think it will take to sort of take this movement from the grassroots to make it more mainstream and more acceptable to folks that look at art with a critical eye? And, you know, folks like David Hockney have been using the iPhone to create art. So this is a prolific artist that's using this new medium, but it's still being sort of fought.
Yeah, we're running out of time here, and we've still got a bunch of calls to get to, so I'm just going to ask everybody to be as succinct as possible.
I'll just say that you've beautifully summed up the issues that we've been addressing this past hour, in that the world is changing, and amazingly creative people are finding ways to express themselves in new ways that are different than we have seen before. That will continue, and it will grow because more people will get involved in those mediums. So bravo for your sister and all of that work that's being done.
Well, and it follows. There's a great email here from Carl, and he makes a point I think that you alluded to earlier, Anne. Carl says, it seems to me that the arts are everywhere. Rap is art. Street dance is art. Just because people don't like ballet and opera doesn't mean there isn't art. I mean, art's happening all around us all of the time.
Again, very well said.
Let's take a call from Joan in Milwaukee next. And Joan, I'll just remind you, we're in the last few minutes of the program, so please try to be brief.
Hey, I will be quick, but I would like to read something that is on the John F. Kennedy Center that if all of our legislators looked at and read and thought about, they would act differently. I'm one of those old-timers. I got the review and a PBS called and said, we want to review those of you who were pioneers in children's art television. And it made me think back of Robert Gard when he started. We were the only community theater in the state. Milwaukee Players, the only players in the city, and on to the first television show that Channel 10 did, the first complete movie. Gladys Bider-Monis and Soar, schools getting the arts, but the real problem is that our schools today are not teaching the arts. They're teaching children to read when they're not ready to read. They're creative, and they ought to be involved in critical thinking and creativity, and that's going to have a problem on the future. But what I'd like to read is John F. Kennedy Center. I look forward to an America, this is on the wall, which will not be afraid of grace and beauty. I look forward to an America which will reward achievement in the arts as a reward, achievement in as more than the business or stagecraft, statescraft. And I'm certain that after the dust of the centuries has passed over our cities, we too will be remembered not for our victories or defeats in battle and politics, but for our contributions to the human spirit.
Joan, thanks for that quote, and that's actually probably a pretty good call to end on. We're almost out of time. And where do we go next? You have the information from this study. What sorts of things can you do following on, you know, what you know to move us ahead?
Well, we're certainly encouraging this kind of creative exploration, this creative conversation, this very critical conversation, and we're helping make it happen statewide and locally. We do a lot of engagement with people, organizations, and communities around the state, bringing up these issues and helping people figure out the solutions and figure out how to address the issues in their own backyard. So that work is expanding and encompassing even more kinds of people than ever. It's not just that some people are arts people. It's that we're all arts people. We're all engaged in keeping our communities healthy and educating our children and making sure that we all have ways to make our living. So that's what we're going to be doing for the foreseeable future.
If you're interested in the study, it's up on your website, artswisconsin.org. Thanks for coming in this morning, Ann. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Ann Katz, Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. This program was produced by Rhonda Fanning and on-air production by Erica Janik. If you'd like to listen to the whole thing over again, if you missed any of it, you can go to our website, WPR.org, click on the Kathleen Dunn link, and later today it should be up there. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn. Stick around, another hour to come, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.